I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll slay you in the end, my friend.
You are most welcome to Tribulation Farce, the Left Behind podcast. I am your host, Tim Lanning, and joining me is Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
This is our finale of the very first book, Left Behind. Is it The Left Behind or Left Behind? I should probably know that.
It's just Left Behind. It's Left Behind, a novel of the Earth's last days.
A novel of the Earth's last days. Jennifer, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
And read the final sentence of the book, please.
You got it. The task of the Tribulation Force was clear, and their goal nothing less than to stand and fight the enemies of God during the 7 most chaotic years the planet would ever see.
Okay.
Now that is an ending.
Now that's an ending.
I was begrudgingly to myself, like, that's a good ending.
That ending whips ass.
Yeah. A lot of things about this section whip ass.
We get a lot of answered questions here.
We get an execution.
We get a double execution.
Yeah, this train is a double execution.
We get mind powers on full display.
Yes, yes. We get another person friggin' saved to the Lord.
Thank God.
Thank God.
So as we are the Tribulation Farce, it is our job to rally against the forces of God.
That's right. We are the forces of Satan.
I don't believe in Satan, Jennifer. So I don't want to fight. I don't want to use the tools of my enemy to fight them.
He's real in my heart. I believe in the concept of Satan. So
I believe in an adversary.
In the adversary.
But
okay,
like, I don't think it's a guy.
What if he's just a guy? He's just a red guy with horns and a little tail.
There is no Satan, but if there is a God, he's the devil.
Whoa.
I feel like Nietzsche said something
probably,
like that. Something sick.
Or probably
like
Drill.
Or Drill. It's hard to understand the difference between philosophers that lived 100 years ago or Drill.
Is this Descartes or is it Drill?
I mean, who's to say?
Nietzsche.
Well, I can't believe we're finally here at the end of the first book. It took us not that long, it felt.
No, it was – it's 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, that's zero. Number one, love that it ended up with the 13th episode. Very funny to me. Number two, yeah, it really did not take very long at all. It's crazy.
While we're here, before we jump into whatever chapter it is we're starting with this week, I think we have a couple fun announcements.
Yeah.
Today is the 12th of November, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Our final episode releases tomorrow on the 13th.
Whoa, the 13th episode on the 13th?
13th episode on the 13th day of the 13th month.
This is Satan's podcast.
This is Satan's podcast.
It should be 666. I mean, that'll come up later.
Well, as such, we're waiting 6 months or like 8 months to release the next episode. No, so that means a couple things. That means we're going to take a little break in between the books in order to do some research in order to collate some information and, most importantly, to explore different content within the Tribulation Farce zone.
Yes.
So, Jennifer, what are some of these wonderful things that you got planned?
Okay, well, number one, and most important, you know we're going to watch the first Left Behind movie with Kirk Cameron in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
We have to.
Oh, hell yeah.
After finishing the book, like, what else are we supposed to do? We gotta watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very curious to see how much of the first book that first Left Behind movie covers.
Me too. Like, does it get to Carpathia with a gun?
I hope
Will
so.
Will we see it? I don't know. I don't remember.
I hope so.
And then second, I am working on an episode talking about the Book of Revelation and giving some more historical context to it, like how the book
was put together, like how people have interpreted it through time. So that's going to take me a little bit more time. That's like real research instead of like reading Left Behind. So those two things for sure, I know I'm working on. I have so many ideas for things I want to do in the future. I would love to do like, I want to do a whole episode on the, takeover of the Southern Baptist Convention by the conservatives.
Yeah.
Because it's way more relevant to this stuff than it seems. It's like directly leads to this happening.
Yeah, for sure.
And like probably do, you know, more research about these assholes that like wrote this book and the people they were friends with.
Right, because they are friends with explicitly the people that the Antichrist is friends with, and yet they don't really put two and two together when they're like
– Right.
Like
– Exactly. Yes, yes. Tim LaHaye – like the Stonicles of the world, you're hanging out with them. That is how, like you again. Remember Tim LaHaye, big buds with like Ronald Reagan and all that crew.
Yeah.
Like they very much set it up so that Ronald Reagan won his election,
which is fun to think about.
Uh-huh.
The other thing too is our Patreon is going to be launching on the 20th. We'll have a week after this episode drops, and then our Patreon will launch. And we're planning on having a bonus episode where you get to basically watch the Left Behind movie with Kirk Cameron mm-hmm. along with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to release on the main feed for free our kind of thoughts on that movie.
A post-mortem, if you will.
A post-mortem. But if you want to be able to Mystery Science Theater 3000, riff track style, on the count of three, hit play, watch-along movie style, that's what will be on the Patreon, along with other fun stuff. We have a lot planned for it. And as we've talked about before, it's a good excuse to help support this Tribulation Farce show. But on top of that, it's to help Jennifer and I carve out all the fun content for which we like to do. So we're going to have a Discord, which everyone can hang out with, offer suggestions, and talk about the various things that we podcast about. I think it's pretty obvious, based off all the podcasts we do, what sort of topics and fun things we can get into there. Because it's not just going to be a Tribulation Farce Patreon, but also,
but it's also like whatever we're watching. So like, obviously we're going to be talking about Andor when it finishes, for instance.
Anime.
Yeah. I'm going to make Tim watch horrible Lifetime movies. Mm-hmm. He's going to love it. He's going to love it so much.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. So patreon.com/content halt and stay tuned for that. We'll be, updating the socials and things like that. Yeah. Should we freaking chapter 24 it up?
Yes, let's do it. So Buck is hanging out in the Chicago Bureau, just thinking. He's thinking about his article that he's doing on the disappearances. He's thinking about Carpathia because he's starting to be like, he might be the baddie, I think.
Right, and because he was explicitly warned, remember, by Bruce, do not go to Carpathia because he's going to use his mind powers on
you. He's going to do like wah, 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 wah with his eyes and make you become the child of Satan.
And hearing this, I'm like, come on, Bruce. There's no way it's going to explicitly be like that.
Turns out the person who wrote this book knows what's going to happen later.
Yeah.
It's literally
weird.
Exactly what happens.
Yeah. So he's super, super stressed out about all of it. And I can't blame him. You know?
He's going through a real dark night of the soul right now because he's like, he like basically knows that he needs to get saved, but he's like not there yet.
Yeah.
Mentally, he hasn't like gotten himself ready for it.
And again, if you replace like accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart with, I don't know, studying the final spell from the elven runes, then it's kind of an interesting idea. You know, you got to shod yourself with the mystical powers so that
the
Antichrist doesn't freaking control you.
Yeah, so that he can't hypnotoad you.
Yeah.
So he ends up chatting to Steve, his old boss, who is now the press secretary for Nikolai Carpathia.
Uh-huh. Very strange chunk.
And remember that Steve had been like, hey, Buck, can you bring Hattie to the meeting that we have with Carpathia?
Mm-hmm.
And like the way they talk about this is just so weird.
This one is a lot more lascivious.
It is. Like, it's very, very much painting it as, like, Buck being a pimp by bringing Hattie.
Yeah, Steve's just like, what are you, prude? Carpathia wants some pussy. And Buck's like, that's not my job. He's like, come on, don't be a little pussy.
I'm not the pussy wrangler.
It's like, you would have done it before. It's like, I don't want to do it now. What are you talking about?
Steve's like, fine, I'll be the pussy wrangler. Whatever. I don't care.
Gladly.
Buck does still want to do an exclusive with Carpathia, though.
Because it would be foolish of him to avoid it, right? Because he's still in charge of whatever his paper is called, Global Weekly.
Yeah.
And he needs to have these big ass scoops.
Yeah. And he's writing in an article right now. Yeah. He's got to talk to him.
Yeah.
Buck asks Steve, have you run into any schools of thought that link him to end times events in the Bible? Steve Plank did not respond. This part was so awkward and weird. It was like every time Buck would ask a question, Steve's just like, literally not talking.
Yeah.
It's like the three dots.
He does it like five times.
Yeah.
And then finally Buck is like, all right, is he the Antichrist? And then Steve is quiet for 20 seconds and is like,
Buck literally is like, I'm going to wait him out.
I'm going to
count and see how long he doesn't talk.
It's very much like, I feel like you saying he's not the Antichrist is a big red flag.
Yeah, you've kind of answered the question by not answering the question.
Steve, why can't you lie?
Yeah, just say no.
Or
what the fuck?
We're exploring all possibilities right now. We're not really ready to talk about that.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Huh, that sounds wacky. That's I guess the thing is that Steve genuinely does care for Buck. And he's like, dude, no.
Unfortunately, the vibe that I got is that Stonegal, Nikolai, and Steve had a conversation, which was, hey, Nikolai, you're the Antichrist. From the Bible, by the way.
You're the Antichrist, right?
Steve, are you okay with being the press secretary to the literal biblical Antichrist? Like, I guess.
Steve's like, hell yeah.
Sure, baby.
This is an honor. This is what I gotta assume people who, like, are, like, the press secretary for, like, Trump or, like, Ron DeSantis, they're just like, yes, let me sign this deal with the devil.
Tell you first, I did it. Deny it.
This is gonna turn out super great for my career, for sure, historically.
I mean, Michael Cohen's doing great.
Oh, is he?
I don't know. Is he on Dancing with the Stars? I can't.
I thought he was in jail. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Basically, Steve keeps not responding to Buck when he keeps asking, is Carpathia the Antichrist, in, like, different ways. But then finally, he says,
Buck, I have a two-word answer for you. Are you ready? I'm ready. Staten Island. And which, of course, is a little friend of ours got pushed off the Staten Island Ferry.
Remember Eric Miller?
Eric Miller
fell off the Staten Island Ferry because I assume Carpathia blew breath out of his mouth and it just blew him right off the ferry.
So Steve is saying, if you don't want to be like Eric Miller and be murdered, shut the fuck up and don't ask about the biblical Antichrist.
We're not
talking about that yet.
I never want to hear that again.
Hey, can I say something off the record under an NDA? In 3 years, we will be announcing the Antichrist, but right now we're not quite ready.
We're not at that part of our plan yet.
It's so cartoonishly silly.
It's really, there's like a lot of very cartoonishly silly things in this chunk.
Steve kind of implies it's not safe to talk about it here.
Well, like, right, because he's talking like their phone is bugged.
Right, but is the...
By who?
Well, I don't know, but like, who's going to be mad if he says, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Buck? Exactly.
Yeah, like, why would he not gaslight Buck into, like, what's next? Are you going to ask him if he's the boogity man?
Yeah, he should, absolutely. That is the way you do it,
right,
folks. You gaslight them.
Gaslight them. Deny, gaslight. But again, this is not, as much as we love Nikolai, he's not really written to be not the Antichrist, all things considered.
He's very written to be the Antichrist.
So all these things have to kind of line up and be very, very explicit. And this is the penultimate chapter. So we gotta ratchet up those stakes. So even though this is like extremely goofy, the point is we need Buck to be having extreme diarrhea before he goes into the meeting.
Well, they succeeded in that for sure. So they then go into this like coded conversation.
Yeah, they're right.
That's like really badly coded.
It's so stupid. Like it's are we bugged? Yeah. Do you work for the Romanian businessman?
Like, who the fuck else do you think that is? Like, it's obviously about Carpathia, you dummy.
He's so fucking stupid.
But regardless, Buck is still like, I'm not sure if he's saying he's working
for Carpathia or ultimately working for Stonegal. And Stonegal is the one that's like pushing stuff.
Yeah, because I don't remember, but it sounds like Stonegal is also a Romanian businessman.
Is he? Like, I don't feel like that ever came up.
Well, because Buck goes, do you work for the Romanian businessman? And then Steve goes, of course. Buck nearly kicked himself. That could be either Carpathia or Stonegal.
Yeah, I guess it must be, but I'm like, I don't feel like, I thought he was American.
Yeah, I mean, he's not British, because that's the other Cothran or whatever his name is, yeah. Is British. I guess Stonegal is Romanian, I guess.
Really weird. Like, I don't feel, I really, I
Can
swear.
Can I Google it? Is there a is Left Behind
oh
Wiki?
Oh my god, you know there's a Left Behind Wiki? I've definitely looked at it before. It definitely exists.
And there's no spoilers for him anymore, so it's, I'm fine.
Well, yeah, except for the people listening to this who don't know what's going to happen.
Well.
That haven't read it.
It's not a spoiler because they're listening to this episode.
I know. Well, guys, you just wait. You just wait.
Leftbehind.fandom.com.
We love to see it.
Nationality, Caucasian, American.
Yeah, that's not like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess unless you're interpreting Romanian businessman as man who does business with Romania.
Hey, Jerry, got a couple notes here.
Jerry, not very clear.
Not very clear.
Yeah, I've got some notes on these two chapters about Clarimus.
There's a few parts that are confusing and... You're not a very good writer sometimes, but you're efficient, and I respect that.
And like we said at the top, you did end the book on a banger.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Gotta give you that.
Absolutely.
When Buck is trying to have this coded convo about like, oh, is it the Romanian businessman? Then he says, then Steve says, my boss moves mountains, doesn't he? And I forgot. Buck is like writing notes to himself during this whole thing, and it's like him like writing like Carpathia question mark Stonegal. And he literally when Steve is like he moves mountains, Buck circles Carpathia on his notes.
It's so cartoonish, like it's a very bad Lifetime reporter thing.
Yes.
Like Buck has an incredibly good memory. Why does he have to write down Carpathia, End Times, Antichrist, and circle it? It's
I
so silly.
Lost my shit, and that's why I was like, this maybe is the name of this episode.
Jennifer and I, we sat in our living room.
We did.
And we drank our coffee, ate our Euro burger and French fries.
I didn't have that.
And read these together, and I was a little bit ahead of her because she was bouncing all around and looking at other things. And she laughed at this part, and I laughed at a part that references this later, and it was really – it was funny timing
how
that
worked. We were just both kept giggling while we were reading it.
We thought – Jennifer's like, oh, you must be laughing at the same thing. I'm like, no, I'm actually laughing to, weirdly, something directly related to this. Because, again, remember, he says, my boss moves mountains, doesn't he? Which is a coded message for the Carpathian Mountains. And so he's like, oh, he's just saying Carpathian Mountains, Carpathia. Got it. Time to scribble.
Right. It just, the way that this is makes me think so much of Q. The like, Carpathia, End Times, Antichrist. Like, just like asking questions.
Oh, yeah.
Like making weird connections.
Yeah. If Steve started like referencing like Aerosmith songs or whatever, it would make about as much sense. And I kind of want to focus in on Buck like kicking himself for asking about the Romanian businessman and if Steve worked for him, and Steve just said of course, and Buck's like, damn it, I gotta get him to say more. And then Buck goes, he's a genius, by the way, the world's best journalist.
The world's like boy genius reporter.
So to get him to say more after Steve says of course I work for them, Buck says, you do?
it's a great interview technique.
I mean, it's all about simplicity, folks.
Oh, man. So now we cut over to Rayford and Bruce talking about the potential Antichrist.
It's kind of wild. I forgot how much Bruce is a main character.
He is. He's a very, he's important. He's a pastor.
I can't remember if we get a Bruce POV. Shout out to my boy. Hopefully you do. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think you're that interesting.
He's like, I think he's pretty fucking boring. Like, I don't really want
him. He gives the same... sermon every Sunday like a weirdo.
Like, this church fucking sucks. Except for people fucking love it, as we'll find out later.
They're all hanging out and they're doing Antichrist math, and they say, but only one thing stands in the way of my being convinced that this Carpathia guy is the Antichrist. I can't make it compute geographically. Almost every End Times writer I respect believes the Antichrist will come out of a Western Europe, maybe Greece or Italy or Turkey.
Okay, but they're talking about this, like, it can't be right. But hasn't it already been established that, like, his lineage is Roman, quote-unquote?
That's not Italy. I don't know.
But no, I thought it was. I thought they were saying, like, the Romans are initially from Italy, like, way back in the day.
Oh, they do say the word Italy, including Greece or Turkey. Yeah, that's kind of shit.
Yeah, so, like, it's like, think for 2 seconds, Bruce and Rafer.
Idiots. I know you're a pilot. Whatever. Come on. Like, there's also a confusing part during Buck and Steve's conversation,
mm-hmm.
because he was also trying to figure out, like, who is threatening me? Steve's like, I'm not threatening you. I'm just, like, warning you. It's a bad idea. And then Buck's like, well, who should I be afraid of? The person driving the ferry
right.
or the ferry itself? And it got really confusing because basically what he's saying is, did Nikolai kill Eric right. Miller or did Stonegal?
Yes.
And we kind of get the vibe that Stonegal did it, but it's purposely confusing, and that's one of the parts that I don't necessarily blame. Like, I'm not critiquing the book for it, because this part and another part later on the start of the next chapter are confusing, but they're supposed to be.
They are, exactly. It's supposed to be like the reader and the person whose point of view it is supposed to be like,
right.
oh, I can't tell what the truth is.
So, like, we're bouncing back and forth a little bit where there's all this insane shit happening to Buck, where he's like getting threatened and and I think, I don't know if it's this part or later where Buck starts to kind of think that maybe he's wrong and Stonegal
yes.
is the Antichrist.
Yes.
And I think it's probably a too late of a twist. I think it'd been kind of interesting if they threw it in earlier and maybe had Stonegal do literally anything interesting. Because
it makes it just, it's like, well, it can't be. Because, he's not done anything.
Right. Like, it could be a somewhat potential big-ass twist, and then there'd be a big-ass monologue, but that's a lot less interesting than Carpathia, I would say. So that's not, like, working out so well. But we know now, from Buck's previous conversation, that Stonegal is doing the murders, and that explicitly the answer is Carpathia doesn't know about it. So kind of what we theorized was, someone saw Eric Miller being a prick, so they killed him.
We don't even mess with this guy.
Now, later, we find out that might not be true. Even though that's not said, we kind of start to get unreliable narrator / everybody else on the planet, because the Antichrist has hypnotism powers.
Yeah, it really does make it tough to find out what the truth is when someone can just, like, brainwash you into not knowing.
Right. And without getting to that part yet, we also brought up, like, did Steve get, like, a complete download of the shit? And it's very likely that Nikolai did tell him everything.
I think he knows everything.
And then we will get to why that's not a big deal later. So, but anyways, back to, like, the doing the Pepe Silvia Charlie Day figuring out
they
where
really
they
are.
But it's so fucking
who
dumb.
Who is the Antichrist? Where, like, is he from?
Like, I thought he was going to be from Italy. Oh, I guess he's Romanian. Like, I guess that's not, like, super known, or, like, maybe it's one of those things that people assume is just a whoopsie, like a westernization of, I don't know, like, okay, everyone from Romania is actually Roman, aren't they? Like, no,
no,
they're not.
But, like, some people,
but
maybe.
I guess they are sometimes.
Well, it's very important that we know that Nikolai Carpathia is blonde and has blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which
he's white, yeah.
Which I actually, that is good, because, like,
good on, you know, Jerry B. and Tim LaHaye for saying Italians are white. Like,
oh, yeah, like,
the race
politics.
Right, exactly. Because they do bring up, like, wait, aren't, like, a lot of traditional Romanians, like, darker skinned? And they're like, yeah, but he's not. And then Buck's like, have you done the internet doesn't really exist right now, but it does.
Have you read a newspaper?
You guys are so dumb.
Yeah, so, yeah, they call, yeah, I forgot if we even said, like, they call Buck to be like, hey, Buck, what's up with this?
Yeah,
and
it's kind of cute.
Yeah, which is when he's like, well, like, yeah, he probably was named for the Carpathian Mountains, but his ancestry is Roman.
Yeah.
And at the end of this convo, Bruce is like, hey, Buck, we're going to see a church this weekend? And Buck's like, we'll see.
Because I'm starting to get a little confused of the timeline, because he's in Chicago right now,
mm-hmm.
but he needs to go to New York soon?
Yes.
He goes to church, and then he goes back to New York.
Yeah, I think
so
this
I
is
guess
like,
there must be time.
I think this is, like, Saturday, and then the church on Sunday, and then he, like, flies back
and
for the meeting on Monday,
got it,
I think
got
is
it.
What's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Buck kind of gives a non-committal answer, and Rafer's all like, I think he's blowing us off.
Yet again, Rafer, an idiot.
And then it immediately cuts back to Buck, and Buck's like, oh, I am for sure going to church.
You can't keep me from the church. I love it, baby.
I fucking love church. Yeah. And he says that he wants to go to church because he wanted every last bit of input before he went to New York to write a story that could cost him his career and maybe his life.
Bum, bum, bum. Because again, he's a proto-Christian right now. He knows he's going to be a Christian at some point.
He's standing on the threshold.
But he just needs a push. He just needs something else. And he freely admits, what's wrong with me? Why can I not be a Christian? And some of it is, and I get this from being a former Christian, is you just sort of want it to be special. You can't get saved in the frickin' aisle at a Target. You have to be like on your knees with the moon shining through your blinds or something like that. But
that does not work out for Buck because he ends up, spoiler, getting saved in a bathroom.
much like an accidental birth, he gives his life to the Lord on the floor of a bathroom.
Yep.
Next chapter.
And locks the door and puts a janitor bucket outside to trick people. So, Buck, then after he checks in with his, you know, Christian crew, he gives Hattie a call because he wants to warn her about Steve calling to be like, hey, you gonna come be Carpathia's companion? And Hattie is extremely not feeling Buck's advice.
Yeah, and Buck's like, you're not a whore, are you?
And she's like, right, I'm gonna turn down a date with the most powerful man in the world? I don't think so.
But you're not that kind of girl.
Well, yeah, it's like, it really is like, so you're a slut.
You're slutting out?
Yeah, like, slutting out to Carpathia.
As if, like, freaking, I don't know, if, hey, Brad Pitt wants you to come over and he's going to fuck you.
He's gonna fuck you.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going. Absolutely. Like,
yeah, that sounds great. I would love that, actually. Should I go now?
Like, let me clean my holes, but...
Like, I gotta go get waxed real quick. Yeah.
I'm gonna go see the sexiest man on the planet. I'm not gonna slut myself out. That being said, if he winks at me, I'm gonna hump him.
Yeah, like, good thing I had this butthole bleaching appointment already set up.
It was a very strangely written, especially for Buck, because...
But also, like, what if Buck's a virgin? Buck, he acts like a virgin for sure. He's very like, my goodness.
He's
like,
only been with the news and the truth.
he's only fucked the New York Times.
I'm surprised there hasn't been, like, a quick... throwaway line of like, he was a late bloomer, and then he was too busy being in the wars.
Should have.
To get his dick wet.
Yeah, Buck is sexually horny for journalism. Mm-hmm.
Which I respect.
But yeah, when Buck is like, I didn't think you were that kind of girl, Hattie has like a pretty great comeback to him. She says, first, I'm not a girl. I'm almost as old as you are, and I don't need a parent or legal guardian. And then Buck says, I'm talking as a friend. And Hattie says, you're not my friend, Buck.
Yeah.
Burn, bitch!
It's so fucking funny.
You're not. Like, what? Like, you barely know each other, and you've mostly been, like, weird and condescending to her.
Right.
So, what the fuck? And she hangs up on him, which rules.
Yeah, yeah. Thus, sealing her fate forever.
As the concubine of the Antichrist.
And it's really funny, too, because this was essentially the start of a Ray section, but they're like, we gotta get Buck on the phone.
Yeah, no, it's Ray's section is still Buck's section.
And then Buck's like, I gotta get on another phone.
Yeah.
And then we head back over to Ray and Chloe, but a big focus of it is Buck.
Is Buck once again. Yeah, Rayford and Chloe are at church. They're up in the balcony zone, which is the cool place at church. Like, you know, if you're at a church that has, like, a balcony, you've got to sit up
there. I guess it's a big enough church if it has a balcony.
Yeah, and it's fucking full. They initially try to save a seat for Buck, but he doesn't show up and everything gets
Hey,
full.
Stop being an asshole, pilot man. Let me sit with you.
Oh, they notice that he shows up later, and he's like, there's like people standing outside listening to a speaker.
Yeah, they put like a fucking Bluetooth speaker outside that doesn't exist, and like, hey, what's up? And listen to it. I thought it was really cute that Chloe wanted to be the very first to give her testimony the same way Ray does. Because again, every single Sunday is the exact same.
Yep.
Bruce plays the tape of the old pastor, talks about his walk or whatever, how he was a liar and shit. And then he opens it up to people to get saved and people to give their testimony of getting saved.
Yeah.
And Chloe wants to be the first one. But unfortunately, she's up in the goddamn balcony, so she can't get down there.
She's
so
actually one of the last.
Poor baby. It happens.
Buck does get to hear her, mm-hmm. Which we'll find out more mm-hmm. about later. When church finally does end hours and hours later because of all the people giving their testimonies, Buck's already gone when they go outside.
Shit.
And they're a little sad about it, but when they go back home, it turns out that Buck has left a note for Chloe. And he's basically like, sorry I couldn't stick around. Can you please pray for me? I'm very stressed out.
Quick question. How did he know where they lived?
Great question. I mean, I probably like Rayford like told them at yeah, some point.
There's like a church bulletin or something like that.
They got a church directory.
Church directory.
Yeah.
We're drinking gin and tonics, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, Tim and I are getting those G&Ts because
we're celebrating.
We're celebrating the last ep.
Yeah, so if you hear a little jingle jangles, that's what it is. And we think that's good. We think that's good. You think that's good. I thought it was very strange that they thought this was cute. But again, it's a different time, so maybe. Bro, text me.
I am going to assume that he was given the address at some point.
Yeah. And he might even specifically said it in the book.
I mean, you used to just like be able to look up like where people lived and shit.
He's like, what do you mean? I looked up the yellow pages. Or the
yeah, exactly.
Pages or
yeah. Like, you know, he had that big, thick phone book.
So that's probably how he did it, folks. But yeah. They didn't throw out that it was weird. Maybe it wasn't weird. Maybe I don't know. Different time.
So Buck flies back to New York that very day. I think it's like later that evening.
Yeah, I believe so.
And he's pretty nervous and stressed on his flight and he's reading his Bible.
Yeah, we're getting into the stress zone, which I think is in the way you got to end books sometimes, right?
Yeah. Oh, right.
Typically you do it when there's 80% left and then you have a little percentage of damn. Wasn't that cool?
That happened.
They
not this book.
They don't do that, but no. It's kind of sick the way they do it.
I was like, oh, no, this is done now.
So yeah, here he is, stressed out, reading the Bible on the plane. They mention that a lady next to him was like asking him questions about it, and he's like, fuck off.
I don't want to talk to you about this. He also has a little thought about Nikolai Carpathia while he's on the plane.
Bruce Barnes has sounded... Well, that is what he said. Bruce Barnes had sounded convinced that if Nikolai Carpathia were the Antichrist, Buck ran the danger of being mentally overcome, brainwashed, hypnotized, or worse.
What's our worse? Killed?
Yeah.
I was just saying, I mean, I feel like mentally overcome, brainwashed, hypnotized are all like the same thing. So what's like something else? Like,
something else
even
to
more
brain.
Intense than being hypnotized?
Yeah,
what?
These are all words for being hypnotized, and you ran out of them in the thesaurus. Sorry, Jerry, we know what you're doing.
You just say, or worse.
You just say, or worse, which like, I respect.
Oh, damn, that's really bad.
the mind of your reader, viewer, is always going to conjure something more terrifying. Am I right?
Oh, that's so true.
So true.
So he actually talks about, too, how he's like, I can't really sleep, but I'm not going to pace. I'm just thinking about shit. And he finally gets up in the morning to like get ready. Cause he's been invited to a pre-press conference with, just like Carpathia's like, power people.
Right. Cause remember, they are switching up the UN's council or whatever.
Yeah.
To being 10 people.
10 permanent members.
Right. And so the permanent members along with their advisors and things, basically of that nature. So it's basically like Steinigel can be there. Cawthorn can be there. Chaim Rosenzweig could be there.
Yeah, all the big names.
Right, because not all of them are going to theoretically be in charge of wherever they're from, right? But they're allowed to be there because they're helping out. So it's a room of roughly 20 people, give or take.
So while Buck is getting ready, he is pondering everything. He was no longer wondering or doubting, he told himself. There was no other explanation for the two witnesses in Jerusalem. Nor for the disappearances.
That's fair.
So Buck is pilled. He believes in the Antichrist 100% now.
Yeah.
And
but he's right.
He's so correct. Mm-hmm. But the problem is he still is not certain which one is the Antichrist between Carpathia and Stonewall at this point.
And I bet he just doesn't want Carpathia to be the Antichrist.
Because he likes him.
Yeah.
Like, or he thought so like fondly of him before.
Right.
That he's not ready to admit it.
if Buck is the number one boy genius, then surely he wouldn't be buddies and friends with the Antichrist, right?
Surely not.
Surely not.
And can I also just point out in the section, so right before Buck goes to leave, he looks at the gun that he has in his bedside table and thinks about bringing it with him. And then he's like, well, I wouldn't get through the metal detectors anyway.
Yeah. And I need better armor than gun. I need the gall.
God, the Bible.
But I thought that was hilarious. Are you going to shoot Nikolai Carpathia?
The Antichrist?
Stop hypnotizing me. And what are you going to say? He tried to hypnotize me, so I killed him. Like, okay, good luck with that
one. Well, you're going to jail. Yeah. So. Buck is, then he makes his way to the UN. Just a reminder, they're going to the UN, the UN's like embassy or whatever in New York.
The headquarters.
He's going to, the headquarters of the UN.
While it's still there before it goes to New Babylon.
Yeah, exactly, for now. And he's still stressed about the Antichrist. He's stressed about, like, saying the prayer to be saved. Like, he's like, oh, I can't just, like, do it because I'm scared. Like, then I feel like it wouldn't count. Like, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Which, I kind of get that vibe, right?
He's
like, I don't want to get saved just to, you know, protect
me. Save my ass.
From the Antichrist mind bullets. I want it to be more personal. He thinks it would sully it. If he did it just to, I don't know, get fire insurance. Take that, evangelicals.
Oh, shit. Fire insurance.
Man.
That was such a thing that people would say.
Annoying.
So Buck gets to the UN, and there's all sorts of hubbub happening. There's a lot of people, a lot of reporters, and, hey, even Stanton Bailey. Buck's boss is there.
Hell yeah. We love Stanton Bailey.
And Buck has this moment where he realizes he's never seen Stanton Bailey outside of the building where they work.
Which I think is hilarious. It's he's like a Jabba that only...
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was thinking it's like how kids think like teachers live in the school. He's like, oh, wow, my boss goes other places.
And I guess he turned in his draft on the disappearances and stuff like that. So,
and Stan Bailey loving it. He gives him a thumbs up.
Hey, here's a gold star for you.
Buck has a little thought here that I thought was interesting. Buck realized that if that had happened a month before, referring to him giving like the thumbs up and saying, good job, Buck, he would have had to stifle a laugh at the corny old guy and would have told his colleagues what an idiot he worked for. What?
Buck, why are you such a prick?
What the fuck is wrong with you? He just said he did a good job and he's proud of you. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this fucking idiot.
This guy's an idiot for telling me I did a good job, am I right? Like, sure, dog on him for being corny, but why an idiot? That feels so strong.
Yeah, it is, like, not fair at all. What the fuck, Buck?
What the fuck, Buck? You're a dick sometimes, actually.
He's a dick most of the time.
Let's do a quick cut over to Rayford and Chloe. Chloe, you know, gotta mention stuff. I don't know, wants to try to get lunch with Hattie for some reason.
Well, obviously she wants to do outreach and she's like, Hattie's super pissed at my dad.
Right.
But she was like nice to me, so probably I can get in there.
You don't care about Hattie. And Chloe's like, I don't care about Hattie.
No, I don't.
But I want her to get saved, right? And you almost fucked her, so we had, whatever, you know, no big deal. But she's not answering her phone. Why is she doing this? She's not on a flight. What's happening? Oh, no. She's taking a 30-day leave of absence. What?
Interesting. I wonder why this could possibly be.
Interesting.
Meanwhile. Buck's press credentials are waiting for him in the UN lobby.
And he's freaking tummy troubles all over the place. Oh, my God.
I gotta assume he's really having some gurgles and growls and stress. And Buck thinks to himself about who exactly is going to be at this pre-press conference meeting. And it's going to be Buck, it's going to be Steve, Carpathia, we know that. Like we said earlier, the 10 permanent members of the new Security Council. And then aides and advisors, which included, quote, various other members of his International Brotherhood of Financial Wizards, unquote.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That, again, that was giving me a red flag.
Yeah, because it follows pretty quickly off of him saying Stonegal. So it's like, okay, yeah. Stonegal's Illuminati will be there as well.
Yes. Book is super stressed. He's literally like, am I about to die?
Yeah, because, you know, he is warned by Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce is like, dude, die. You should not go to this. This is very dangerous.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
And then Book thinks to himself, the closer he got to the conference room, the more he was repelled by a sense of evil, as if it personified in that place. Oh, what's that? You mean the UN?
Oh, God.
It, like, actually, like, took me, like, it's like, I was like, okay, he's going really hard. And, like, obviously, he's talking about the presence of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
It's causing evil, but it's also happening at the UN. So
a little bit of have your cake and eat it too.
Exactly. It's a little way to get around, like, straight up being like, the UN is the New World Order, which, don't worry, they're going to get to that explicitly.
I mean, later. This UN is the New World Order.
This new UN is absolutely the New World Order.
Again, he cried out to God and he felt a coward, just like everyone else, praying in the foxhole. I get it, bud. You want it to be special. You're a special little guy.
Well, I almost wonder if it's not so much that he wants it to be special, but he wants it to count. And it's like a weird, because I do feel like that was like kind of a thing I was taught. I was like, you can't just be like, I want to get saved, because you're like literally afraid of like dying in that second. You got to believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, say it right.
Yeah. He kind of implies he wants it to be special though.
I mean, yeah. Well, how's that work out for you, Buck?
Time to go to the bathroom.
Steve spots Buck. They take a quick, you know, they chat for a second. And Buck's like, hey, do I have time for a quick bathroom break before we get started? And Steve's like, you got 5 minutes. And he goes to the bathroom and gets saved.
Yeah, because he feels so much dread seeing this. Because, again, he's the only journalist here. He doesn't entirely understand why he's there. It's just been said, Carpathia likes you.
Yeah.
But he's pretty sure Carpathia or Stonegal is the Antichrist. And so this room is just swirling with evil powers.
Yeah, very, very bad vibes coming out of this
and
conference
he
room.
Does keep praying to feel good. He's like, I know that I am not saved yet, but Chloe prayed for help before she was saved and she got help. Why isn't it not helping me?
Yeah.
So he goes to the bathroom, puts the janitor bucket outside.
Locks the door.
Basically sits down on the ground, not quite, but close enough, and does the damn thing.
Yeah.
They point out that he doesn't say the exact same prayer, because he's a special little guy.
Of course he's
going. But covering the same basic ground.
But, like, I think he also, like, refers to it as, like, the deal was done.
The deal was done. Yeah, it's very, very silly. It's a very strange way for the main character to get saved. But
it's extremely the vibes of The Little Mermaid when she, like, signs away her voice to Ursula, and it's like, you know, signed it, and it's like, all right, it's done, the contract.
Yeah.
So that's what Book has signed his contract with the Lord.
Which, that's what it is, folks.
And has been suffused with the power of God.
Yeah, but it is funny that when he walks out, he's like, fuck, I don't feel any better. God damn it.
I feel pretty bad about going into the room with the Antichrist.
In fact, he says, there wasn't a doubt in his mind that the Antichrist of the Bible was in this room. Buck sensed the truest, deepest, darkest spirit of evil as he watched Carpathia take his place.
This is the thing. He knows deep down. Like, he knows deep down it's Carpathia.
So this is we're getting into like a slightly weird territory, because we have Buck, obviously, as a point of view character, feeling darkness from the UN, feeling darkness down the hallway to the room they're going in, and then feeling darkness explicitly within the conference room or whatever they're meeting in. So he still sort of has some deniability, meaning it's just a fucking zone of evil.
Right, right.
But as he's starting to take his place and all this stuff, and Nikolai is walking around, everyone's sitting around their you know, U-shaped table or whatever, he's like, oh, fuck. I feel the evil directly from Carpathia.
And then Carpathia stands and addresses the group and says, in a few minutes, we will greet the press and introduce those of you who shall be entrusted to lead the New World Order into a golden era. And this is where I'm like, oh, my
my guy, he admitted. It's the New World Order.
You know, it's not capital N, capital W, capital O.
If they had, that would have been very sick of them to just straight up capitalize it.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out, like, all right, what's the charitable way to say this? Like, is there a way to say, all right, we're now the New World Order? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I don't know exactly. And there's another thing I could research at some point for an episode. When did that phrase, like, come into being? Right. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. My gut is, like, maybe the 60s. But I'm not sure.
Sure. And we also get the vibe that it's confusing because Buck felt evil, right? But that could just be your anxiety. But I believe we're supposed to assume it's absolutely magic.
Yeah, I'm imagining Buck walking down the hallway and, like, a very JoJo-esque, like, menacing aura is coming out of the conference room, like, floating towards him.
The sort of aspect ratio of the hallway fucks up and gets longer and longer.
Yeah, he's, like, sweating. Like, his vision is, like, when it's, like, narrows down.
So he could feel it when he was slightly shod in the Lord. But now that he's completely shod in the Lord, he feels just waves and waves and waves of evil.
That's evil.
Coming out of Carpathia. And at this point, we're thinking, Carpathia might have certain evil darkness coming off
of him. He might have powers.
Chapter 25.
Carpathia, as you said, this is another one of those. It just directly picks up from the last chapter.
Right, because they want to end the last chapter on the New World Order shit.
You're probably right, to make a point of it.
Yeah.
Carpathia stands up and he greets everyone individually at this table. And I think my understanding of the way this is set, I thought it was like a big square in a room because it talks about Buck being in like the corner and he could like see everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I for some reason, I saw it as
like a U-shaped.
It doesn't matter.
Like it's
either one giant table or three giant tables arranged, or maybe four giant tables arranged.
Right.
You know?
The point is like everyone's like looking at each other.
Yep.
And
it's a table.
It's a table. Everyone's looking.
And there's corners.
And Buck is in one of the corners. Mm-hmm. So Carpathia says to Todd Cawthran that he will, quote unquote, be introduced as the ambassador of the great states of Britain. But then he says the same thing to the British financier next to him.
Right.
And Buck's like, I think he made a mistake.
Oh, what a dumbass.
Because,
and it's not just the British ambassador, it's like the great states of Britain are Great Britain,
right. Yeah.
And then huge chunks of
like Western Europe.
Yeah. So I kind of just glossed over that we are moving to this 10 country situation.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we're going to one world government, for sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah. They're consolidating different regions under each of these 10 dudes.
Right. So yeah, he goes, congratulations, you're the great state of Britain ambassador. Congratulations, you're the great state of Britain ambassador. And then he goes on to the same thing to everybody and is like, wait, he said you're in charge of Britain to everybody? But then it says that he changes their title and stuff like that. But I was confused for a little bit.
It was confusing, but what it actually is, and we'll get more detail on it later, is that he says it to both Todd Cawthran and his dude beside him.
Right.
That they're both the leader of
Britain. And it was like, okay, whatever.
Weird, okay.
I wish we would have gotten all of the names.
I need a list.
Yeah, because we're going to get it eventually. Maybe they didn't have it, but he goes around.
We need to think on this one a little bit more. We'll wait till the next book to reveal it.
He goes around and does it to everyone except for Hattie. And
she's a girl. She doesn't get that.
And in fact, he says, lady and gentleman.
Yeah.
Meaning hashtag no diversity.
Zero
here.
Diversity. Only it's dudes and then Hattie the assistant.
The secretary. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Buck is like the whole time, is he gonna talk to me? Like I'm just a reporter.
Buck doesn't know why he's here other than hey man.
To report.
Yeah, because he says to basically everyone, I welcome you to the team and confer upon you all the rights and privileges that go with your new station. May you display to me and to those in your charge the consistency and wisdom that have brought you to this position. So it's very, very repetitive, very ritualistic.
Yes, absolutely.
Very indoctrinating everyone into a cult type shit. And he does the exact same thing to Buck, but Buck is freaking out.
Yeah, Buck's like, I don't work for you.
Yeah, he's like, what position? What are you saying? Because, dear listener, Carpathia is hypnotizing
him. He's going up to each person, like shaking their hand, staring in their eyes, and it's going, wow, wow, wow,
yeah.
Wow, wow.
Everyone wow. who is not a Christian is being sucked in to Carpathia's evil Antichrist magic. And he knows it. And that's why he didn't warn Buck before, because he didn't think he had to.
No.
Because what he's doing is,
like, I'm just gonna hypnotize you.
Right. I don't know what, I think what he's probably telling Buck is, he's going to tell Buck, you're here and your position is to say nice things about me in the news.
In the news, which is a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
In real life.
But it doesn't work out that way. We'll find out later why.
It does. And unfortunately for Carpathia, Buck is a Christian now.
Yeah.
So this does not work on him.
So he's just like staring at Buck saying like all the rights and privileges conferred upon you, yada, yada, yada. And Buck is like, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. And God's like, don't say shit.
But Buck is like, oh, this is so affirming and flattering and I love it, but I can't. So he does still feel the tug.
Right. And I do love that there is a little bit of realism to this. It's like, he's not necessarily 110% using his magic on them.
It's like his charisma.
Right. He's working on their base human instincts to want to be loved and acknowledged.
And flattered.
On top of that, he does use magic.
But also he does have Satan magic.
Right.
So. Buck realizes in that moment, like, oh yeah, oh shit, he's definitely trying to hypnotize me.
And it's a little interesting because he's like, do I lie? Do I just pretend to be zoinked in? But he's a Christian now, dear listener, so he can't. He can't lie.
He can't lie.
So God tells him to don't say shit.
Just shut up.
So Nikolai kind of makes fun of him.
Yeah, he calls us like, oh, my tongue-tied friend.
Yeah, but he's literally doing the whole kit and caboodle, stare deeply into his eyes, kisses his little cheekies,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and he's just radiating evil Antichrist powers.
But Buck's internal thought is, he sensed and read the evil of the man, and it was all he could do to keep from pointing at him and calling him the Antichrist.
Like, you're the Antichrist. He's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And basically at that moment, Carpathia moves on, like, which I thought was really weird that he's like, just chill as this Buck not. Like, does he not sense that Buck is not picking up
I think
what
he's
putting down? Or does he care?
He doesn't. Take your pick, right? It's basically like, he's in control. Hey, if this didn't work, it's fine. There's no direct opposition. And he's powerful enough that he has plans within plans. So even if his Satan magic didn't work,
it's whatever.
Sure.
Which is pretty true. It turns out.
Exactly. Yeah. He makes all the correct assumptions.
Yeah.
He turns and basically addresses everyone in the room.
The only people that Carpathia does not do the whole, like, you are honored by this position, blah, 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 are Hattie. And the security guard. There's a security guard in the room. That's also important to know. And it's also important to know that Buck had left his bag with a security guard.
Yeah. And he doesn't do it to Stonegal either.
Yes.
He introduces Hattie as his new personal assistant and says nice things about her.
And it's all like, I am leaving my career in aviation.
Her glorious aviation career.
Yeah.
So she gets her flowers in that way. So it's not as bad as it could have been. I'm still mad at Nikolai for not having another girl boss in there at all. It's all dudes. There's
honestly,
one girl in this room. He's evil.
You should have an evil girl boss in
I also here. Feel like an evil guy from Tim LaHaye's perspective would have women.
That's a very, oh my God. That's actually a great point. Like,
to all my they thems out there.
They should be talking about how diverse this room is.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Like, maybe, like, I think that maybe Tim LaHaye and, like, Jerry Jenkins are just so Christian, like, evangelical pill that it doesn't even occur to them.
It's like, well, like, you can't be a woman in charge of a
church. You can't be a woman in charge of a country.
They don't even think about it. Like, oh, fuck, that's a good idea. We need to add an evil woman later. You got it.
Maybe they will.
I don't know if they do.
I don't remember.
I can't think of any.
I hope they do.
She's probably hot. And they should have inquisitors.
Oh, my God. I wish. He then does say, Hattie's my secretary. This guy's a security guard. And he finally turns to Jonathan Stonegal. He's the only person mm-hmm. that hasn't been, like, addressed yet.
And again, Stonegal is his behind-the-curtain Wizard of Oz fixer, setter-upper.
This is your Rupert Murdoch. This is your Koch brother.
Yeah.
This is, you know, imagine whoever else, like, powerful.
Kissinger.
Yeah, your Kissinger. Rich, like, dude who's old and has a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for Stonegal, he's like, all right, my dude's in, like, everything's cool. But Carpathia starts doing his spiel on Stonegal, and Stonegal is not into it.
And he does it, like, in kind of a weird way and sort of points out that, yeah, like, you now work for me. And
yeah, he's like, welcome to the team. And Stonegal's like, what the fuck? And I'm not a part of your team.
Stonegal kind of gets pissed because I guess the concept is Carpathia was Stonegal's protege.
Right. So he's like, who the fuck do you think you are?
And Stonegal's getting mad, and he's basically, like, shouts out of, like, who do you think you are? And Carpathia, for some reason, shrugs it off with, sir, I've been having a bit of sport at your expense because I knew you would understand.
He did the classic trolls bit of, I was just joking. And then Stonegal's, like, even more embarrassed because he got all, like, worked up about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just joking. Like, why can't you take a joke?
Yeah. And then he's like, sit down. And Stonegal's like, okay, no. And Stonegal's pissed. And they mentioned before that Buck is opposite of Stonegal, so you can see the whole thing.
Yeah. So then Carpathia turns to the group.
We're entering the bizarro zone.
We're entering the real shit now. And he says, I would like to present to you all just a bit of an object lesson in leadership, followership, and may I say, chain of command. You know that, like, when someone says that, like, this is probably not going to be good.
I wish to make an example out of you. What? Yeah. Say what now? Say, don't do that.
So Carpathia calls the security guard over, and he once again does his Antichrist fucking parlor tricks. As Stonegal calls it, parlor tricks.
He, like, mumbles parlor tricks.
Where he knows the security guard's name, he knows everything about the gun he's holding, like.
And he does it, he starts doing it in a very, very, like, no, I have magic, because how did I know your name?
Yeah.
How did I know what gun you had?
Yeah, he, like, points out to, like, everyone.
Everyone.
And then he's like, oh, also, I know exactly what's in your bag, Buck.
So that's very, very weird, because he's basically saying, I did not memorize the encyclopedia entry for the UN.
Yeah.
I just know shit.
So aren't you impressed that I know things?
He's either given information by a demon, or he has x-ray vision, or he just inherently knows things, because he explicitly can see inside Buck's bag.
Yes. I assume he has x-ray vision.
Who knows? Why not?
It's very fun to me to think about him having x-ray vision.
That's so, more fun.
So I'm deciding it is.
Sure.
Though. Mostly just, like, visually, I'm just imagining him being like, meh, meh, like, scanning the bag. And yeah. Being like, he has condoms in there.
He's a robot, but for the devil.
Yeah. Oh, I want that. I want a devil robot.
He has a lot of good powers, and I think we should all get them.
He really does.
But he's being really shawarmy about it, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, he's being a huge dick.
Which is weird, because they're not supposed to remember any of this.
He's just doing it for fun.
So he might be doing it for fun, Well, he's doing it for fun. Absolutely doing it for fun. But he might also just be doing it because he knows it's not quite working for Buck.
Well, right. So he's like, okay, if my hypnotism doesn't work, then the brute force of what I'm about to do.
Right. And there's an argument to be made that he has to somewhat follow logic while he's doing his magic. So that's why he's, like, walking them through it. Here's this object lesson.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Stonegal, for helping. I was just playing a joke on you. We should switch positions.
Yeah.
And Stonegal's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I, you need to calm down. Who do you think you are? He asked for the gun from the guard. And
it is a, like, big gun, by the way. Like, they specify that it's not, like, a little handgun. It's a big-ass gun. And, yeah, so he takes the gun from the guard, and then he says, and now I'm going to ask you to kneel, Jonathan.
Damn.
And I do feel like people are still kind of like, okay, wow, what an object lesson this is going to be.
This is a Succession as fuck.
Oh, my God, I actually just restarted watching Succession again yesterday.
This is bore on the floor.
Oh my god, it really, really is. Stonewall's obviously pissed about what's going on, and he says,
if you think you have risen to a position over me, you are mistaken.
Cocks the gun and, like, puts it in Stonegal's ear and makes him kneel down.
Yeah, he's like, please kneel down, please. And he's like, oh, fuck. And everyone does start to freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Nikolai Carpathia, the president of the Earth, has put a gun in Stonegal's ear.
Yeah.
And then he just so nonchalantly asks Hattie to move.
Yeah.
Because hair, skin, skull tissue, and brain matter will mostly be absorbed by Mr. Todd Cawthorn and the others next to him, but I do not want anything to get on you.
Like, you're basically my wife now, mm-hmm. and I cannot let any blood, guts, brain, etc. get on your lovely outfit.
And Hattie's just like, what the fuck? Huh? And then he kind of does this, shoo, get up and move it 3 feet to the back.
Yeah.
Because he's so specific, because he knows what's going to happen, because he has devil powers.
Yeah. So then Carpathia says, I am going to kill Mr. Stonegal with a painless hollow point round to the brain, which he will neither hear nor feel. You will understand cognitively that I am in charge, that I fear no man, and that no one can oppose me.
Cool.
And yeah, everyone's freaking out, and he's like, so like, once I kill this guy, I'm gonna tell you what to remember. And that's where he's like, oh, also, Todd Cawthorn is gonna die too.
Yeah, because he's going to the gun is so powerful that it's going to shoot through Stonegal's head and then hit Todd.
Yeah, and kill him.
And kill him.
And that's exactly what he does. He shoots Stonegal, and it goes through him and kills Todd Cawthorn. And then Carpathia just puts the gun in Stonegal's hand.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Wow.
I can't believe he did that.
I cannot believe Stonegal just killed himself and Todd Cawthorn, he rushed the guard. Wasn't that crazy? And, and everyone's freaking out. And they beg Nikolai to stop.
Like, don't do it. Yeah, like Rosenzweig, like Nikolai, no.
Before he pulls the trigger, like even Buck screams no.
Mm-hmm.
People are freaking out. They're not sitting there comatose.
Right. Buck also was like, should I die for the gun? And then he's like, I'm going to kill other people if I do that.
Yeah, exactly. But Nikolai, as soon as it happens, everyone's freaking out. He just calmly tells them what happened. Like we said, Stonegal rushed the guard, took the gun, killed himself because he felt so guilty for killing those two people over in Britain and who knows who else. And also hit Cawthorn as well.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't say this. Maybe, a little bit of justice was meted out today, as sad as it is to say.
Like, damn, actually, when you think about it, maybe it kind of just worked out the way it was supposed to. So once this happens, Carpathia then is like, hey, guys, we're going to do a quick poll to make sure you all understand
real quick
what you saw.
We all know that you're under my thrall, but I'm just going to go quickly around.
Let's hear it.
And let's hear it.
So Buck is real stressed when this starts happening. He's like, oh, shit.
You're right.
I'm not your thrall. I do know what happened. What am I going to fucking say when it comes around to me? And that's where Buck gets the, like, message from God that's like, say nothing.
Don't say shit.
Don't say anything. It'll be fine. And that works, actually.
Yeah.
For him. Which, again, I'm like, Carpathia's got to know that he, like, doesn't believe this, right? Like, if he can, like, see through people's bags and, like, be able to, like, hypnotize them, I just would think. Because Buck does not talk. Like, he doesn't say anything.
I'm not sure if it matters, what we find out later is, you know, maybe Carpathia could have just killed him just real quick and got it over with.
Yeah.
But fast forward a little bit, basically he brainwashes everyone into thinking Buck wasn't there.
Yes, yes, and we'll get to that.
So that's his way of covering for Buck. So while Buck just stares at him, doesn't say anything, you know, it's interesting when he's polling everybody and people are like, oh, well, I guess, you know, that sucks for you, Carpathia.
They're just like, wow, I thought that guy was going to kill all of us.
Yeah, but luckily you did something. And Carpathia's like, no, he was my good friend.
I'm sad.
And he's like crying over the corner because his friends were gone. And the security guard was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that happened. And then Carpathia's like, why'd you not stop? He's like, I don't know. I just thought he was, you know, an ultra rich guy that my guard was down. I'm so sorry. He's like, that's okay. It could happen to any of us.
Yeah. So everyone in the room is brainwashed into thinking that Stonegal killed himself and that killed Todd Cawthorn.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Buck. And Buck's like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, the security and the cops show up, and Buck doesn't want to, like, flee.
Yeah.
So he goes, hey, I gotta go. I think you should get as much information from these people. You don't necessarily need me, because you can see what's going on. But if you have any questions, please, here's my card. Can I have yours as well? They exchange business cards with the police.
And Buck gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
He's supposed to, there's supposed to be the press conference after, and Buck is supposed to then get the exclusive, which he like kind of forgets about, which is funny. It makes sense.
Which
like,
makes sense.
And he's like, oh fuck, I gotta get out of here.
Because one of the things that Stanton Bailey said to him is remember everything. So he hightails it back to the office. He's like, remember everything, remember everything. And then writes this huge ass.
I got everything that happened.
Yeah. A bit of like accounting of events. But then he gets a phone call.
And it's Stan Bailey, his boss. And he's like, what the fuck, Buck? Why did you not show up for the meeting you were supposed to be at? Buck's like, what are you talking about? I was definitely there.
I have my press credentials.
I have my press credentials.
I was there. We talked to each other. It's like, yeah, I know I talked to you, but what was so important that you didn't go in the room? It's like, no, I was there. I asked Steve. Like, I did ask Steve. I asked everybody. You weren't there. You weren't at the press conference, and you skipped out on your one-on-one meetings. Like, but Stanton, I was there. I can tell you what happened.
I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. You better be in the office when I get there. You better have a good excuse.
So then Buck is like, well, I'm going to call this police officer. I got his card. Like,
because he needs proof. Because the only tangible proof he has is from the police officer.
So he calls, and turns out there's never been anyone at the NYPD with the name of this police officer.
Right. And they're like, okay, if there's someone impersonating a police officer, let us know. So I'm not too sure what happens here, whether Nikolai used magic to change the name, whether...
Or if that was like one of Nikolai's like people.
It's entirely possible. And I think, I don't know if it's more interesting or less interesting that Nikolai literally has demons working with him.
Oh my God.
Cause part of me doesn't think that he would have a fake cop for this.
I don't, oh, you don't think so?
I think he doesn't need it.
But it'd be fun for him though.
Right, but
I think he would. I feel he feels like the kind that's like, I like my little machinations.
Yeah,
I like my little strings going out,
because it does kind of show that he knows what's happening. If he can see inside Buck's bag, he knows that Stonegal is killing people, and probably more than likely, what's happening is he's using his Jedi mind powers to get Stonegal to kill people.
Yes.
Yeah, which means he probably also told everything to Steve.
Oh, I think Steve knows everything.
And he probably threw out some basic hypnotisms, like, you'll feel like shit if anyone asks you if I'm the biblical Antichrist.
Yeah, you'll just, like, go quiet
and
not be able to say anything.
Because when Stanton and Buck talked to Steve several chapters before, and they mentioned things, Steve just goes quiet again.
He's extremely, like, Westworld situation, where he's like, this is not match with my programming. I cannot say
this. Doesn't look like anything to me.
Yeah, exactly. So then we cut back over to Rayford, Bruce, and Chloe, who are watching, because I guess this press conference does still happen.
Yeah.
Which is a little confusing, because Nikolai earlier was like, we're going to close the UN for the day. But I guess they go ahead with the press conference.
Yeah, he's doing the press conference. Part of the press conference is closing the UN. And then Ray, he literally does the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he stands up and points at the TV.
Hey!
When he sees Hattie, and they're like, is that fucking Hattie? Like, yeah, that's Hattie.
And they're like, oh shit.
Oh shit. But Buck's not there. Fuck.
And they immediately get really worried about Buck not being there. And they're like, damn, I hope he didn't get all caught up.
He might already be thralled by the Antichrist. Yeah. Good luck to him.
Luckily, we know that's not true. Back to Buck just in general. And he's thinking about how, like, damn, I'm really glad I got saved before going into that room, because if I hadn't, I would for sure be one of Carpathia's puppets right now.
Yeah, because he does go and basically say, he kind of says both things, which is sort of confusing, meaning God can't protect you from everything because you are in a very dangerous time.
You're in a fallen world.
That being said, he needs God's powers to stop Carpathia's brain pilling or whatever.
It's so, like, Carpathia is a mind flayer.
Right, exactly. So it kind of goes back and forth on that, whether or not being saved would help you. But they do say explicitly he was able to resist Carpathia and see everything because he was saved. So I guess that's the end all to be all, but it is a little interesting that they kind of go back and forth on it a little bit.
So Stan Bailey shows up to have a chat with Buck, and Buck is, like, so demoted from his job.
Oh my God. Yeah, Stan is just, like, reaming him out on this whole thing, and I feel for Buck a little bit.
I do. Like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Like, I was there, man. Here's my press credentials. Like, yeah, I know you grabbed them, but you dipped. You can't, like, you clearly don't have a reason. So you are demoted. You're going to be part of the Chicago branch.
Yeah, and you're going to be working for the assistant. Yeah. Listen to Washington,
Buck's
actually.
Buck's like, I will gladly head up the Chicago branch. No, bitch. All I'm doing is demoting you so that you can't go work somewhere else. You'll be a staff writer out of Chicago working for that person we made fun of previously in the book.
But it's also very funny because, like, Buck didn't want this job to begin with. Like, he kind of just wanted to be a staff writer.
Yeah.
So I feel like, A, he gets to be in Chicago now. This is all working out for Buck.
It is very much working out for Buck. He gets to move to Chicago.
He's going to obviously go kiss on Chloe and, you know, do Christian shit.
Yeah. Because he says earlier that Chloe might actually distract him from becoming a Christian, what with her curves and all.
Right, yes. Her sinful lady body would jostle his mind.
Yeah, so he basically gives them a call, says, yep, some fucked up shit happened. Carpathia is the Antichrist. Yep. And I'm moving.
My way.
I'm moving to Chicago. Please pick me up for the airport.
And he also is like, I very much felt your prayers in the meeting. And also, can I be a member of the Tribulation Force, please?
What'd you call it? What's that secret group? Tribulation Force. Ah, that's the one.
Oh, and then we get the very ending. So yeah. So again, Buck, like, immediately flies to Chicago, and we get this picture of Buck landing and Bruce and Rayford and Chloe being there to meet him. And they move through the terminal toward the parking garage, striding four abreast, arms around each other's shoulders, knit with a common purpose. Rayford Steele, Chloe Steele, Buck Williams, and Bruce Barnes faced the gravest dangers anyone could face, and they knew their mission. The task of the Tribulation Force was clear, and their goal nothing less than to stand and fight the enemies of God during the seven most chaotic years the planet would ever see.
End of book one, baby.
They really are like, can I be the most annoying walking through the airport? We need to walk four abreast with our arms around each other.
I also, like,
I would hate them so much.
I still think even though he's moving to Chicago, he didn't check a bag.
Oh, I fully agree with you. Yeah, he has like three pairs of underwear and that's it.
I hope in book two they mention something like, finally, his stuff was shipped here, but
they probably will.
Because they gloss over him packing. They say he's packing, but then he goes to the airport, and then this happens. So Buck gets his wish. I think in time we will know that's actually a good thing. And he lives in Chicago now. It's vaguely makes sense, what with the new branch needing someone, but it
they
also
needed
doesn't.
To get him. They had to get
they
him.
They just needed to get him to Chicago.
Yeah, they made it work.
Yeah.
And guys, I don't think you're going to be surprised, but do you know what the next book is called?
What?
It's called Tribulation Force.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Which is why we did not call this podcast the Tribulation Force.
I didn't want to get sued by the estate of Tim LaHaye.
So we're like, Tribulation Force.
It's different.
Do you get it?
It's different. It's a joke, right?
You get it.
It's funny.
So thank you so much for being with us for this first book.
Oh my God.
I loved reading it.
I did too. No, it was fun. I thought that there was going to be like a big speech at the UN. At
like
the
where
end
he
of this.
Says some like real Antichrist
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but
like
I think that
everyone
must be in the next book. But yeah, honestly, doing like an execution and then like brainwashing everyone was also very sick.
Yeah, it whips ass. And now that we've finished recording this episode, I'm like, I want to read the next one.
I know.
Pretty fast. So
I gotta know. We'll see.
Maybe our time in between books is going to be a little bit less than we thought. So to help make sure that second book, second season arc,
mm-hmm,
seal, bowl.
Oh, man. We didn't even talk about any bowls and seals. We got it.
We don't do seasons. We do bowls, gang.
Yeah.
To make sure that bowl two comes out, you can head over to patreon.com/contenthole. Yes, that's right. Tim and Jennifer's content hole. That's where you get all the various wonderful, delicious content that you can ever get from Tim and Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this before November 20th, 2020, it's not there yet.
It's not there yet, but it will be very soon.
Yeah. But thank you so much to people who have pledged before we record an official episode later.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot, all of you, after November 20th, because I think there's going to be a lot of fun stuff there. Not just Tribulation Farce, obviously, but who knows what.
No, I like, for instance, I want to make Tim watch The Omen. It's very relevant to everything we're talking about with Left Behind. And I honestly kind of think Tim LaHaye stole some shit from it. So, you know, things like that. So some of it will be like relevant to, you know, Tribulation Farce, and some of it will just be stuff we're watching and
yep,
are into or whatever.
We probably won't finish this podcast if we don't have some sort of, what's what I'm looking for?
Incentive.
Yeah. And, you know, we're having motivation. Fun. We had a great time here, but there's a realistic aspect to this content creator stuff.
It takes time.
It takes time. Jennifer does a lot of research. It takes me a bit to edit, although once our Patreon gets a little bit bigger, I'm going to hire someone to do it.
Yeah.
You also get to be part of it. You get to be a little sicko that helps us figure out what to do next and to help inform the content which goes into the whole. So thank you again. Patreon.com/contenthole. And thank you again so much for everyone who has emailed, who has tweeted, who has done all sorts of stuff, giving us little fun stories about your personal tribulation growing up in Hell World and all that good stuff. Keep them coming. It really means a lot. We've had such a great time doing this show, and it's so rad that we got such a fun feedback from y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, everyone, and I'm looking forward to the next book.
Yeah, baby. All right. Well, till next time, Tribulation Farce out.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.